This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Larry speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now here's your host, Larry Allen.
We have kind of a unique topic today here on Off the Shelf, and can't wait to dive into that and introduce you to a guest who is probably singular among those we've had on Off the Shelf, and that I have known our guest here for over the last 25 years. Amazing, but true. Before we get into that, though, I want to remind you that nominations are about to close for the Excellence in Partnership Awards. What are those? Well, if you haven't heard before here on Off the Shelf, the EIPs are the awards program that honor the individuals and organizations that have made substantial contributions to the procurement programs of the General Services Administration. So, if you are a loyal agency user of a GSA program, a new innovative small business coming into the program, or maybe you think that you're deserving of some recognition for great things you've done with the GSA procurement program, check out everything you need to know. Nominations close in about 10 days, so get in there now. EIPAwards.org, EIPAwards.org tells you everything you need to know, or call Melissa King at the Coalition on 202-331-0975, and she'll get you right set up with everything you need to know. The EIPs themselves are November 1st in Tyson's Corner, and I can honestly say that sponsorships are going faster now than they were last year, so if you want to sponsor it, definitely give Melissa a call right now. As I mentioned at the outset of our show, we've got kind of a different topic today. We're going to be talking about energy savings performance contracts. What are those? Well, you have to stay tuned and find out. My guest in the studio to help discuss this topic today is Roger Morse. Roger is currently a partner with Capital Pathfinders Group. He is a experienced political operative in this town, having worked on Capitol Hill for over 20 years, Roger.
Almost 20.
20 years, and then been in private practice for a little while doing things that people in Washington do. Roger Morse, welcome to Off the Shelf.
Thank you very much. Welcome to you, Larry.
It's great to have you here, Roger. And as I mentioned, our topic today is energy savings performance contracts. And when we were talking a little bit about putting this show together, the topic, Roger, definitely piqued my interest, because under traditional government contracts, the government puts forth its statement of work, accepts bids, and then enters into a contract that they actually are going to pay somebody to perform under that contract on. Yet, energy savings performance contracts are a bit different from this. Give our listeners an overview of how different they are and who some of the biggest users are of this contract type today.
Sure. ESPCs are highly specialized federal contracts that allow the federal government to upgrade obsolete capital assets in the absence of capital appropriations from Congress. The government pays for such upgrades out of the stream of savings generated by the upgrade over a period of time not to exceed 25 years. ESPCs are unique in that the federal government actually gets to own the upgrade from the outset, but only pays for the upgrade as it produces energy savings. Thus, it is the contractor, not the government, which bears the risk for there being sufficient savings to pay for the upgrade. However, if savings are generated in amounts that exceed the ESPC payments, the government and agency get to retain all of those excess savings.
So there's a considerable amount of risk up front if you're the contractor, because you're taking on the responsibility for generating energy savings. But there can be a good reward if you're the contractor, if you actually realize these savings up to a certain point. But even after that point, the benefits accrue back to the government, right?
That's exactly right.
So for the government agency, there's no upfront appropriation that needs to be put together for this, if I hear you correctly?
That is correct.
So Congress does not need to appropriate any dollars in order for an agency to enter into an energy savings performance contract, as you mentioned, the shorthand ESPC.
Correct. In fact, this would come out of operations and maintenance accounts within the government already, and this is exactly how Congress devised this program.
So really almost kind of an element of share in savings contracting, something that had been talked about widely in government maybe 7 or 8 years ago, just started coming back now as share in savings as part of discussions we've been having with the Department of Defense. Roger, who are some of the biggest users of ESPCs today?
Well, currently, Department of Defense is by far the largest user of this. They have lots of infrastructure, a lot of facilities at bases that need upgrading, base housing, and also their service academies in particular have been large users of this contracting option.
So a lot of stuff going on in DOD with this. So if it as you referenced earlier, it's something that has some legislative and regulatory underpinnings to it. So it's definitely a legit contracting method. By it, I mean energy savings performance contracts. Tell us a little bit about what that legislative and regulatory authority is that exists to make it possible for agencies, not just DOD, to use ESPCs.
Well, there's a long history of congressional support for this type of contracting authority. It began with its predecessor, known as Shared Energy Savings Authority, the old SES program. That was enacted in 1986 when they first authorized federal agencies to use these SES contracts. In 88, it was incorporated into the National Energy Conservation Policy Act. The current form of ESPCs were authorized in the 1992 Energy Policy Act. That's what we're working off of now. They have been reauthorized several times since then, and budgetary caps have been altered. The most recent authorization was included in the Energy Policy Act of 2005, which extended this program through 2016. Now, from a regulatory aspect of it, back in 1998, I believe, President Clinton strongly encouraged agencies to use this option. In an executive order that he published, Executive Order 13123, this called on the agencies to improve energy efficiencies in their building and promote the use of renewable energy, reduce greenhouse gas emissions associated with their energy use in buildings and other energy requirements.
When we come back, we're going to further our discussion with Roger Morse, Roger, partner with Capital Pathfinders Group, about energy savings performance contracts. I'm Larry Allen, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Throughout the history of American defense, Northrop Grumman has helped give the men and women of our military an edge with innovative design. Northrop Grumman delivered the products and systems that changed the course of battles and of wars. Today, our technology makes a difference in every domain. Air, land, sea, space, and cyberspace. The people of Northrop Grumman build satellites, unmanned systems, electronic systems, information technology, as well as submarines and ships. We build the systems that give our troops a moment-by-moment picture of the battle space and a critical war-fighting advantage, along with shields from enemy threats. For 70 years, wherever the American military has served, Northrop Grumman has supported our nation's and our allies' defenses with the most advanced technology. Northrop Grumman, defining the future.
And welcome back to Off the Shelf, where I am Larry Allen, your host here every Tuesday morning on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, where we bring you the unimaginably loyal listener in government and industry, the very, very latest developments in the world of commercial solutions procurement. If you have a question for my guest today, Roger Morse, a topic that you'd like to see discussed here on Off the Shelf, or maybe even a question for your loyal host, you know where to find us by now. Send us a line here at the station. You can reach us at offtheshelf@federalnewsradio.com. That's offtheshelf@federalnewsradio.com. Keep those cards and letters coming. We promise to get back to each and every one of them. We're talking this half hour to Roger Morse. Roger is a partner in the firm of Capital Pathfinders Group. Roger also been around town from a legislative and public affairs background for some 25 years. Certainly somebody that knows the lay of the land about what's going on in government these days. We're talking to Roger this half hour about energy savings performance contracts. Roger, when we started out that discussion in the first segment, you were saying that ESPCs are a method of government contracting that does not require an upfront appropriation by Congress. It's something where contractors are paid only if they realize a significant amount of savings in terms of energy use by a government agency over the life of their contract, up to 25 years. So it's something that does not have a lot of risk for a government agency. In framing the topic in the first segment, though, it definitely seems like some of the genesis for ESPCs strictly came from a fairly narrow energy usage field, one that until recently has not necessarily gotten wider play across the procurement community. What are some of the hurdles that have been identified so far that have maybe prevented ESPCs from reaching their full potential?
Well, there's always the cost aspect of it. While the acquisition of an asset using an ESPC is more expensive than using appropriated dollars due to you're amortizing it
right
over a series of years. The ESP contract vehicle still provides savings to the government for transactions which are economically justified, but for which there's no congressional appropriation expected. The bottom line is that ESPCs are only used if capital funds are not going to be appropriated by Congress for the upgrade in question. Now, the use of an ESPC in such circumstances is not a circumvention of Congress. Rather, it is the exact reason that Congress anticipated when it created these ESPCs.
So maybe a little bit of an attitudinal hurdle to overcome because it's not a traditional contracting method. And maybe even though there are some good cost savings associated with this, because there's some contractor reward that may be higher than a normal contracting method, there might be some resistance to using ESPCs, even though, as you point out, it saves money for the government in the long run. In our first segment, Roger, you talked about the Department of Defense being the largest user of energy savings performance contracts, our topic this half hour on Off the Shelf, and particularly the service academies. But let's talk for a minute about some of the traditional areas where ESPCs have been used so far, either in DOD or elsewhere. If I understand correctly, Roger, energy savings performance contracts have pretty much been used on things like buildings, bridges, and other fixed assets. Give our listeners an overview of what some of the sweet spots have been for this program.
Correct. They're used by all agencies, clearly. But buildings, dealing with buildings is by far the biggest usage, where you can come in and replace heating and cooling equipment. You can replace electrical and lighting fixtures. You can replace plumbing. You can get all of these upgrades. And these upgrades, particularly when they're competing for appropriated dollars in the defense budget, are just very difficult to get out of Congress. There's an awful lot of need at the bases. The bases have very old facilities, And this is the only way that they can really get those upgrades through that are needed.
All right. So some of the areas where it's been used, particularly military bases, things where you have a lot of buildings and fixed assets. Now, I alluded earlier to the fact that up until recently, energy savings have been important, but it really hasn't really been part of a mainstream center lane discussion in terms of federal acquisition. But all of that has started to change recently, particularly with more and more of an emphasis being put forth by the Obama administration on energy savings, particularly initiatives coming out of the General Services Administration, where they are all about sustainable acquisition right now. And a large part of that has been a discussion on how to reduce that agency's carbon footprint down to zero or very close thereto. In fact, according to the Defense Science Board, another government agency, the federal government is the largest single consumer of energy in the U.S., and until recently anyway, until China got into the act, the world. So there is a lot of potential. Roger Morse, my guest today, talking about energy services, energy savings performance contracts. Roger, how are ESPCs compatible with the goals set forth here for sustainable procurement, so-called green contracting initiatives? Could we be on the dawn of a new set of opportunities for ESPC use?
Sure. You clearly have the need to reduce the amount of energy consumed by the federal government across all agencies. They all have to get their carbon footprint down. That's going to require more efficient capital equipment for the most part than they're using. And this is a way to get that equipment in place and operational, particularly in these difficult budget times. There's just not going to be the same amount of money being thrown around as there have been in the past. So contractors and federal government procurement officers are going to have to get creative if they're going to meet these goals.
In fact, that's exactly the same thread that we had recently in the coalition in a discussion with Director of Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy, Shay Assad. Mr. Assad was saying that, look, we are forecasting that DOD budgets need to grow by 3% a year in order to sustain our current capabilities. That's not going to happen. We need to find a way to buy smarter. Energy savings performance contracts could be an important part of that mix, Roger Morris.
Absolutely. And he's speaking exactly the same language that Secretary of Defense Gates said. He gave a speech in May in which he said military spending on things large and small can and should expect harsher scrutiny. He said the gusher has been turned off and it is expected to stay off for a good period of time.
So there are opportunities here. So if you're in the listening community, in the government or industry, thinking about innovative ways to contract, ESPCs could be a good one for you. When we come back in our next segment, I want to talk to Roger Morris about the federal budget overall. Roger has a considerable amount of experience in that and how this ties into our topic today. I'm Larry Allen, your host. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What do successful small, medium, and large federal contractors, including two-thirds of the top 100, have in common? Membership in the Coalition for Government Procurement. Successful federal contractors know they get the information edge they need on developing acquisition trends and an effective voice to protect their interests from coalition membership. For nearly 30 years, the Coalition's been the trusted voice of industry, working with federal officials to promote common-sense procurement. Know what the best know. Join the Coalition today to protect and grow your company's business. Contact the Coalition at 202-331-0975 or visit their website at thecgp.org. That's 202-331-0975 or thecgp.org. Don't be left wondering what will happen to your federal business. Contact the Coalition today.
And welcome back here to Off the Shelf. I am Larry Allen, president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and your host here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, each week, where we cover the very latest developments in the world of commercial solutions procurement. My guest this half hour is Roger Morse. Roger is a partner with Capital Pathfinders Group, and our topic this half hour has been energy savings performance contracts, what they are, how they're used, what some of the benefits that are possible in using them, and how these might be an emerging contract type in an era of both tight budgets and a renewed emphasis on energy savings in the acquisition supply chain generally. Before we return to our conversation with Roger, just one more quick shout out about the Excellence in Partnership Awards. Check out everything you need to know about this program that recognizes the individuals and organizations that make GSA's procurement programs the market leaders they are at eipawards.org. That's eipawards.org. Find out opportunities on how to nominate somebody. Nominate yourself. Why not? Wouldn't be the first time. Sponsorship opportunities. And if you don't feel like checking things out on the web, you want to talk to a real live person, call Melissa King. She's there to answer your questions. She can be reached at 202-331-0975. Now, back to our discussion about energy savings performance contracts with Roger Morse. Roger, as we went into that last break, I promised our listeners a little bit of a discussion about the federal budget and its current status overall. I'd be remiss if I had a guest of your caliber here in the studio, Roger, and I let you go before we discuss this topic. ESPs aside for this moment, what are you and your clients looking at in terms of federal budget opportunities in the market right now, as well as realities for the next fiscal year?
Well, Larry, as you know, the government currently has a $1.6 trillion deficit. They're expected to stay very high, over $1 trillion, for the remainder of the decade. This is going to create a lot of hardship in trying to get anything new going. We're telling our clients they have to be very creative in how they justify getting these things through. So we're taking a look at the QDR, which came out, which has pointed out the problem of having high costs for very few programs, and the need to get costs under control. This is the perfect program to get costs under control, because it shifts the burden of performance from the Pentagon to the contractor. In the worst case possible, the Pentagon would end up with the status quo. They can be left no worse than that. They would get new equipment and essentially the same cost, but not have to pay for them. So the ESPC has a lot of advantages there. In particular, you have a new requirement that was included in last year's defense authorization bill, requiring that when they're seeking a new acquisition, that they must take into account the fully burdened cost of fuel. Getting energy efficiency right is a key factor. And it's one thing to estimate the cost of a gallon of gas is $2.60. Here, it has a much different cost to the Pentagon when it's in theater, and it gets even higher when it's in the battle space itself. That's where the costs significantly rise, and it has a huge problem on the performance of the warfighter in the combat zone where they truly need it. So getting those things right is going to be key, and that's a big opportunity for people who want to get into the ESPC space.
Right, and I think it's a very good point about ESPCs, but even more generally, a very good point about the fact that there are some tight budget priorities, and I alluded earlier in the show to the fact that, you know, DOD has said that they're looking for 3% budget growth, but they know they're not going to get a 3% increase every year in their appropriations. So that means that budgetary priorities are going to be tight. In fact, in the same conversation we had with Shay Assad, the Director of Defense Procurement recently, he went out of his way to say that DOD is unabashedly making a point about getting a lower price for the things that it buys. So looking for innovative ways to save money and still get critical products and services to the warfighter is now even more important than it maybe has been in the recent past. Roger, you alluded in the last segment to a quote very much to that point by Secretary Gates. Tell us a little bit about anything else that's going on in the budget that impacts this. Appropriation is going to be late again for the first part of 2011 fiscal year. If you're a contractor in this environment, is there a ray of hope for you?
This is a difficult political situation in order to get any of the funding approved. There are huge deficits that are driving the political environment, yet there are still needs for the government in acquiring assets, paying its bills that have to be met. It doesn't appear that they're going to get any, certainly not all of the appropriations bills done on time this fiscal year. They may not have any floor votes on them at all, particularly in the Senate has not decided to move very much. So we're looking again at the problem of using continuing resolutions and eventually an omnibus. They will clearly push a continuing resolution until after the election, running in November. The question is, can they get anything done in November, or will that be pushed to the next Congress?
Yeah, we may not know that again until after the November elections. Roger Morse, my guest today. Before we let you go, what else do our listeners need to know about energy savings performance contracts that we haven't covered here? They're legit. They're sustainable. They don't require federal appropriations. What comes next for the use of this innovative acquisition method?
Well, they may provide hope in solving many procurement problems that we face, and provide innovative solutions for dealing with the budget problem. The government still has a lot of needs, and there are some creative ways that can be used to get them enacted and put into use. We're advising our clients at Capital Pathfinders Group to think about how we can use these operations in order to achieve their goals of selling to the government.
Roger Morse, my guest today, a partner with Capital Pathfinders Group. Roger, I want to thank you so much for coming down and being on Off the Shelf. Great fun having you.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.